I trust you have your Bible with you. We're going to be reading from John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, and commencing to read at the 33rd verse. While you're getting the Scriptures, I would like to personally bid you welcome. As I said this morning, it's a great joy for me once more to minister here in Greenville, not only to have fellowship with this congregation, but also with your minister and his wife. And we trust that the Lord will remember us especially as we continue the ministry of his word this incoming week. And I would add my own invitation to you to come and join with us night by night. John's Gospel, chapter 13, commencing to read at verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. We trust the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon this portion from his inspired and infallible word. Let's just bow our heads in a short word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for what our ears have already heard. We thank thee for a sense of thy presence in our midst. And Father, as we turn to the open Bible, and as we seek to meditate upon thy truth, we pray now that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that it might be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I would venture to say that if you forget everything else that I will say this evening, I would hope and believe and trust that you will remember the text. The text is one of the most well-known and oft-quoted verses of the Word of God. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When the Lord uttered these words, it was on a memorable occasion. It was the last night of his earthly life, the night of his betrayal. Judas Iscariot had already left the apostolic band forever to go and betray his master for 30 pieces of silver. Soon the persecutors would arrive. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ would be arrested. He would be unjustly tried, and he would be crucified to death. Calvary, with all its woe and pain and anguish, was not just now ahead for the Lord. The disciples were apprehensive. They had a sense in which something dreadful in their minds was about to take place. Certain events that already happened seemed to point that way. The Lord had announced that one of you shall betray me. That was something that shocked the entire group of that apostolic band. And Judas Iscariot eventually, as I've already said, left to do his deadly work. Then Peter made the boast that he would lay down his life for Christ. And the Lord looked at him and he said, before the dawn breaks, and this night is over, you will deny me 3 times. And so the disciples became uneasy. The Lord talked about leaving. He talked about the fact that they could not follow him. They could not participate in what he was going to do. And so Christ, in order to encourage them, and in order to lift their hearts, he began to speak about the benefits of his death upon the cross and his glorious resurrection. He began to talk to them what he would accomplish on the behalf of all who would come and put their trust in him. He began to speak about heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. In the original it speaks of something that is sure and certain and permanent. In my Father's house are many mansions. It was a place with which Jesus was truly familiar. If this were not so, he said, I would most surely tell you, I am not here to deceive you. I am here to assure you that such a glorious place exists. I will prepare it for you. And in due season, praise God, you will be with me. And that throughout the countless ages of eternity. The abode of God, the place of fullness of blessing, the place of life, life abundant, life overflowing, life eternal, life everlasting. And the Lord looked, as he spoke about this glorious place, he looked around at those 11 men. They had been with him for a number of years. They had heard him preach many times. They had listened to his claims. They had witnessed his glorious miracles. And he said, after all this time, and with all this information and enlightenment, you know why I'm going. And you also know the way to this glorious place. I don't know how many doubters there were in that room, that upper room in the great city of Jerusalem that night. But I know there was one. And he voiced his concern. He said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? You see, Thomas, when he heard about this place, he wanted to go to heaven. When this life was finished, he wanted to be sure that he would be a partaker in the blessings of that glorious place. I believe that he expresses the desire and sentiment of every one of us here this evening. Even people who have no faith, the infidel, even the agnostic, even the skeptic, if they were questioned closely, they would have to admit that if there is an hereafter, if there is a world to come, and in that world there's a place of rest and peace and joy and happiness, then I want to be there. I want to be there. Back home in the obituary columns, when the death of a person is announced, almost invariably, no matter what that person believed or what kind of a life they lived or how they conducted themselves, when relatives are putting in the obituary notice and announcing their death, they almost invariably place afterwards something that expresses their hope that the departed one will be at rest, that all will be well. Everybody wants to go to heaven. In the final analysis, talk to anyone. If they reach a position where they want to admit that there's a life beyond the grave, then they will hope that in that life all will be well. And I'm sure I'm expressing your sentiment, your desire, your hope this evening when life is finished, that heaven will be your portion. The all-important question is asked by Thomas. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? I would suggest that's one of the most important questions that anyone could ask, this side of eternity. How can we know the way to this glorious place? Because when I study my Bible, there are two ways. There are two destinies. Eternity is divided into two. There's a broad way, and it's a crowded way. No matter where you go in the world, there are multitudes on this broad way. It leads to hell. And there is a straight and narrow way, and that is the way that leads to heaven. Life is very like a voyage from the cradle to the grave. Every one of us here this evening, we are born irresistibly, inexorably along the river of life. But very soon, for some of us sooner than we think, we can be launched out into the sea of eternity. The hymn writer put it like this: a few more years shall roll A few more seasons come, and we shall be with those at rest as sleepeth in the tomb. Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash me in thy precious blood. Take my sins away. Let me ask you a very sincere, straightforward, simple question, yet very important. Are you ready? Now, at this moment, to exchange this world for heaven. Can you say, yes, preacher? I am happy. I am assured. I am certain that when I die, heaven will be my portion. Thomas asked the question, the Lord gave a definitive answer. It's an unmistakable answer. It is plain, it is clear, it is straightforward. I want you to listen to it again. We know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, listen, but by me. Just three small words. And yet, I will suggest to you this evening that your attitude to those three small words will determine where you will be in eternity. Will determine whether you will enter heaven or not. Because, you see, first of all, those three small words, they place an impassable barrier to every other way. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Lord was not only saying, I am the way. He was saying, I am the only way. There is no other way that leads to heaven. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you traveling this life, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, and month by month, and year by year, without Christ? Are you? Are you traveling without the shelter of the precious blood of the one who died upon the cross at Calvary? Are you traveling this life without the peace of God that passeth all understanding within your heart? If you are, then let me just tell you tonight, as best as I can, that the way that you're traveling up ahead on that pathway, heaven is closed on that pathway. You will never be there. There's no place reserved for you. You will be doomed and damned forever. instead of when you pass from the scene of time, hearing the welcoming voice of the Savior to enter into His kingdom, you will hear the Savior who, we must remind ourselves, when He rose again from the dead, not only became the Savior of all who will trust Him, but also He will become the Judge of all men. And if you know not Christ and die without Him, He will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting darkness, prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, I tell you, those three little words, they put an impassable barrier to any other way. No other way leads to heaven but by me. The second thing I want you to notice here is that those three little words, they place an impassable barrier to every other message. Jesus said, "I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There are some verses in Galatians that very few preachers preach about today. I would venture to say that you could go for many a long day to many, many churches and you would never hear these verses mentioned. And certainly you would never hear them preached upon. But Paul, when he was writing to the Galatian church that had departed from the one and only true gospel, he said these words in Galatians 1 and verse 8. "But though we are an angel from heaven," when you stop and think about that, it really is breathtaking. Paul is saying, should an angel from heaven, a real, true angel from heaven, appear, preaching any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, I'm very thankful I didn't say that. I would almost be afraid to say that. But I must warn you that the Holy Ghost says that. The Holy Ghost said there is only one message that is the truth that leads to heaven. And every other message is false. And Paul wished the messengers would be damned because they were leading people astray. They were damning the souls of their listeners. There are many men standing behind the desk, I'm sure not only in America, but in my own country and across the world, and they purport to be servants of Christ. They purport to preach the gospel, but they preach another gospel. It is not the gospel of the saving grace of God as it is found in the crucified Christ. It is another message. And all who preach it and all who heed it will be damned. Oh, that's the serious truth of this. This is what God Himself is saying. In fact, Paul goes on to say in the next verse, verse 9, he repeats it. It's as though he was saying, maybe you didn't get the full impact of that. Maybe you didn't allow it to sink in. Maybe you're so astonished at what I've said that you can't take it in. So I will tell it to you again. And so he does. As we said before, so say I now again. This is something that Paul preached continuously. He warned against false gospels and false preachers. And he goes on to say, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that that ye have received, let him be accursed. Oh, there are many ideas that people proclaim that bring others to heaven. Some people say, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. How many times have you heard that? People say the real criteria is sincerity before God. Well, the prophets of Baal were sincere. They were so sincere that they prayed for hours and they cut themselves till the blood flowed. But they were wrong. They may have been sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. People say that we're all going to heaven. They believe in universal salvation. They talk about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And somewhere, somehow, all of us, by various means and by various directions, by various messages, we will all reach heaven. Not so. That's not the message of this book. And my dear friends, it is not the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, if you ever want to get to heaven, the gospel message that exalts me as the one and only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who died according to the Scriptures, because many people have many ideas about why he died. Some people believe he died as a good man. Some people believe he died as a fanatic. Some people believe that he finally made a mistake when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he realized it was all a mistake. But people who talk like that know nothing of the truth, because the Lord Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures. Died as a substitute. Took our place and died in our room and in our stead. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the message. That's the only message that saves the soul. Places us on the way that leads to heaven. And gives us the assurance that all will be well. Have you believed the gospel? Are you trusting in the Christ of the gospel? The one and only message that saves? And my last thought is this. These three little words, they place an impassable barrier upon every other remedy. Jesus said, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's talking there about eternal life. You could never exist in heaven without eternal life. At this very moment, you, if you know not Christ, you are dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. The Word tells us that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And although you have physical life this evening, your soul resides in death. A death that, if it is not remedied, will lead on to the second death in eternity, ever dying and yet never dead, doomed and lost for all eternity. That's the real position tonight. That's the real state of your soul, dead. If you're ever to enter heaven, That soul of yours must be resurrected unto newness of life. It must be given eternal life. Because only those who have eternal life, and I'm talking about now, right down here upon this scene of time, only those who have eternal life now will enter that glorious land. And there's only one who can give you that eternal life. And you have it there so wonderfully depicted in John 5:24. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," present tense, "hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, shall not be judged of God, but is passed from the place of death, the place of condemnation, the place of the wrath of God, is passed from death unto life." And the only person who can give you that life, the life that is the very breath of heaven itself, is the one who said, "I am the light. No man cometh unto the Father," the Father's house, the place of many mansions, heaven and all its glory. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What's your relationship to those three words? You say amen to them. You rejoice in the truth of this verse. You've been to the cross. You've bowed the knee as a sinner. You've invited the Savior to come in. You can look back to a time when you have, praise God, passed from death unto life. And you're marching to Zion, beautiful city of God. Is that your testimony? If it's not, and I beg of you tonight, I would plead with you tonight to stop. Stop on the pathway that you're treading. Stop. Consider your latter end. Stop right now. Make your calling an election sure. Come this very hour. Dr. Kearns was talking about that young girl, young married woman, teaching in the school, getting in the car, driving home. Suddenly, her life could have been extinguished in an instant. What about you tonight? What if death were to come to you suddenly? It comes to many people like that, suddenly and unexpectedly. You can be taken away, launched out into eternity. Oh, dare you go on and die without Christ? Dare you do it? Woe be unto you if you do it. Jesus said, and if you ever want to be in heaven, you better heed these words. And you better obey them. And you better settle this matter quickly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Shall we pray? While our heads are bowed, people of God praying on behalf of the minister of this church and myself, we are your servants for Christ's sake. Has the Lord been speaking to you? Has the Lord been warning you, striving with you, knocking upon the door of your heart? I beg of you tonight, settle this question. Don't leave this building. Make your need known. Have a word with any of us, or even the elders of this church. But don't go away. Settle this matter this evening. Today, the Bible says, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Father, we leave thy word before this people. Bless it. Prosper it in the thing to which thou hast sent it. May it bring forth fruit unto life everlasting in some soul or souls. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.